Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus. This is Prophetess Teresa Dox. I'm here with you live with Saturday with the Word. I want to thank everyone that have joined in with me today. God bless you. I love you with the love of Jesus Christ. We want to play just one more song, and I'll be right back. Thank you. soul cries out, I surrender. Do you surrender? Yes, let's surrender to the Almighty King, the King of Glory, the breath of the Almighty is upon you. Job 33 and 4, the Holy Spirit is the life-giving breath of God. Re-kor-ra-ba-she, the deep calling upon the deep. God is an awesome God. Well, again, this is Prophetess Teresa Phillip Docks, and I'm here again with you Saturday with the Word. Yes, Saturday with the Word. We want to welcome everyone once again, and I want to thank you for tuning in to another broadcast. We're going to be playing some praise music today, and we want to encourage you to stay with us. For God has given you a time of refreshment, a time to be renewed, a time to be restored by the Holy Spirit, the one and only Holy Spirit. Yes, 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 the breath of God. We just praise God for that. We just ask God to bless us indeed.
Come.
territory. I pray for increase. Oh, yes, increase. Increase in the things of the kingdom. Increase in the things of God. Increase. Rabashe to roboshe. Increase in your eternal spirit. Hebrews 9 and 14. The Holy Spirit is the eternal God. Glory to God, glory to God. And guess what? He keeps on blessing me.
Right now.
right now. He is blessing you right now. If you would just reach up and grab your blessing, for God is blessing you right now. You know, he is such a good God. And when giants come in your life to try to destroy the blessings that God has portrayed upon you, have placed upon you, they got to come down.
And I came to tell you, it's coming down, it's coming down. Come on, get up and let's help us do this song right here. Come on, God. Let's sing it like we're back in the 80s.
Oh,
when you shout, they got to come down. You can scare the giant with a shout. The word says, when you shout, they got to come down. You can't be all timid when you raise your voice and shout. When you sing as a song of triumph, the enemy get afraid. Raise your voice and begin to sing praises of Zion. Praises, ha, korabo. Begin to sing a new song. And I tell you, the giant has to come down. Oh, yes, God don't want his people timid. He wants us to be bold soldiers. Bold soldiers, where we can speak a thing and it shall be established. We're going to go back to what we were speaking of. We were talking about names of the Holy Spirit. Counselor. Comforter. John 14 and 16 and then 26. The Holy Spirit comforts, counsel, and gives strength. And we're mixing this up with some praise music today. You know, there's an excitement in my spirit because I realize that God is enlarging our territory. Yes. Look around and see the blessings of the Lord. And the giants are coming down. They're falling down. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, if you embrace it, you'll have it. Holy, holy, holy. Thank you. is holy, holy, holy. If you just call him holy, acknowledge the fact that he's a holy God. When we get into his presence, I'll tell you, call him holy. Call him comforter. Tell him that he's the breath of Almighty, Holy Spirit, Spirit of counsel. Isaiah 11:2, the Holy Spirit counsels and teach us as we grow in Christ. You know, it's really time to seek growth, to seek change, to seek the pleasantries that comes with serving a holy God, a righteous God. And I'm telling you, when you get to deal with all three, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, everything that you need is right in one. You got the counselor leading and guiding and directing you and strengthening you. I'm telling you, you got the Word of God that's directing and causing you and provoking you to righteousness. Hebrews 9:14, the Holy Spirit is eternal God. Listen, so we can say eternal Spirit, the Holy Spirit, eternal God. Read it in the Word. I'm not just saying this. So guess what we can say? We can just ask the Holy Spirit, just fall on us. Holy Spirit, come and fall on us. If you believe it and you don't doubt, guess what? He'll come.
Come on, everybody, and tell him how much you need it. Tell God how much you need. How many know we can't make it without him? We need the breath of your presence. We need so anointed. Oh, we need it. Come on, everybody. Come on, lift your hands up all over the place. Tell them how much you need it. Oh, we need God. Come on and bless his name. Oh, God.
We need the Holy Spirit. Can't live without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will connect with our spirit, and we can become one, because we'll begin to strengthen others, to counsel others, to lead and guide others through the Holy Spirit. Psalms 51 and 12 says, the Holy Spirit is God's generous and willing spirit. Listen to that. Free spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's generous and willing spirit. What kind of spirit do you have? Are you generous? Are you willing? The Word of God says that if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. God said when he compelled Jesus to come back unto him, Jesus told us that he would not leave us comfortless, that he was going to send the Holy Spirit. And he held true to his word. We want to encourage you. There is no reason to be discouraged, but we have all the reasons to be encouraged, because we have a comforter. And as the Holy Spirit has fell down from heaven, he has made himself available to us. And I'm telling you, because he is available, we can just say, Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna. could get excited about calling on the name of Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna, you're worthy. Hosanna, we praise you. Hosanna, get into that praise mode. And I'll tell you, those shackles will begin to fall. Those shackles will begin to be removed because of the anointing as you spend time with the Holy Spirit. You'll get renewed. You'll get refreshed, and you shall be restored. In Psalms 51 and 11, the word says, God is a spirit, and they, and that spirit is holy. He is the spirit of holiness. How about that? He is the spirit of holiness. And I'll tell you, when you know that he's holy and you want to be like him, we have no choice. We have to live a holy, consecrated, set apart life. That's his all to it on this beautiful spring day. You make a decision, you make a choice to say, I'm going to set myself apart to minister the word of God, to encourage the people of God. We're still in the land of the living, and we are able to do the work of him that sent us. Oh, yes. And the word says, work while it's day, because when night comes, no man shall work. So I encourage you to do all you can, as long as you can, while you can. I'll tell you, God is an awesome God. He is just such an awesome God, and I encourage you to do all you can while you can. So when God call your name, you'll look up to the heavens, and you'll be ready. You will be ready to answer. You won't get caught off guard because you have done all that you can while you were here in the land of the living. The Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. So we know that it's inevitable that we're going to go and meet our Maker. Well, who is your Maker? Who is your Maker? You know, as I'm ministering to you now, I'm looking out my picture window, and I'm looking at a celebration of life. The young man, doors over, 47 cars all the way down the street. He was caught off guard. You see him one day, and the next day, he's gone. He's gone. And we pray that he is with the Father. I mean, cars from one side of the street to the other. Nowhere to park. They probably want to park in my driveway. But glory be to God. I just want to encourage you in the Lord to let you know that it's time to do all you can for the Father. And I'm going to play one last song, and then we'll be getting ready to close the broadcast, but we'll be bringing Minister, Pastor Sophia Parks. She'll be coming with The Right Way. Yes, The Right Way. The right way to live. The right choices to make. You have to do what's right. We're going to clear the land to make things right.
We acknowledge you, Father God. We acknowledge you as our Lord and our Savior. We acknowledge you as the King of the kingdom. You are the Lord Sabaoth who fight our wars and win. We acknowledge you, Father God. We applaud you for everything you've done, God, and everything that you're going to do, God. We just worship you, God. We just always want to take our time to give you glory and give you reverence. You are the King of glory. Hallelujah. You are Jehovah Nissi. Hallelujah. We worship you, God. We worship you in the name of Jesus. We lift your name on high in the name of Jesus. We die that you might increase tonight, God. We die in the name of Jesus, God. We just clear the land in the name of Jesus, God. But we don't want anything to block our prayers, God. So therefore, we come repenting for all of our sins, God. We pray that you would blood wash us and make us whole, God. We pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would circumcise us tonight, God. That you would circumcise our hearts in the name of Jesus, God. That you would circumcise our ear gates, God. We just take dominion and authority over all dullness of heart, all dullness of hearing, God. We pray, God, that you would judge the hardness of heart in the name of Jesus, God. Make our hearts soft and pliable in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, rekaya shea, brakoya la ria kaya saya reke, rababaya shea la ria kaya saya. Create in us a clean heart, Lord Jesus, and renew the right spirit in us in the name of Jesus, God. We want to live upright and holy before you, God. We want to live a life pleasing unto you, God. So therefore, we submit unto you, Lord Jesus. We submit our lives unto you, God. We submit our bodies unto you, God. Whether the temple of the Holy Ghost, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Rekaya shayana riakaya, rababaya shayana riakaya soya. Purge us with hyssop, God, and make us white as snow, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, rakaya shayana riandaya, rakaya babaya soya. Baptize us with Holy Ghost and with fire, God. Burn away the drug, God. Burn away everything that's not like you, God. Burn away the old bad motives, God. Burn away everything that would be contrary to you in the name of Jesus. We pull down every stronghold. We come against everything that comes against our mind, everything that comes against the knowledge of Christ. We pull it down right now in the name of Jesus. We break up all fallow ground in the name of Jesus, God. Rakaya shakabaya taya. We act as a battering ram, and we break up all fallow ground in the name of Jesus. Rakaya. We clear the land, God, and we prepare the way for the King. We prepare the way for your glory. We prepare for you, Lord Jesus. We prepare in the name of Jesus. We prepare for your majesty. We prepare for your splendor, God. Come in and move in our lives, God. Move in our lives in a mighty way, God. We salute you, God. We roll up the red carpet for you, God. Oh, in the name of Jesus, God. Those with a clean hand and a pure heart, God. Oh, in the name of Jesus, we lift you on high, Father. We lift you on high, Lord Jesus. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy.
Well, God bless everyone. I'm going to turn the lines over to Pastor Sophia at this time. God bless everyone. Have a blessed supernatural rest of the evening, and stay with us and enjoy and be blessed with the right way.
Oh, bless your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We are so worthy. You are so worthy to be praised, oh God. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same. We lift your name, Lord. We worship you. We honor, we adore you, oh God. Oh God, thank you, Lord, for your word, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your word. Thank you for giving us Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for giving us salvation. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come into your holy of holies, oh God. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We honor you. We praise you. We worship you. Lord, we adore you. You are awesome, God. You are awesome. Oh, bless your name, Jesus. Oh, the asikiyashi kola ridiyosha. You are so worthy, oh God, to be praised. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What an awesome hour we just had. We just thank God for those songs. We thank you for the word coming forth from Prophetess Teresa Phillips Dox. We just thank the Lord for the hour of power that preceded me. And we just give God all the honor, the praise, and the glory. And how befitting for her to have service, a teaching, a ministry today on the Holy Spirit, and to play songs and to encourage you and exhort you to lift up the name of Jesus and to worship the Holy Spirit. And we thank God for that. And as we segue into the teaching tonight is on the book of Psalms, P-S-A-L-M-S, yes, the book of Psalms. What we endeavor to do tonight is read a little bit about the psalm and give you a little history, and then we're going to do a little analyzation of Psalms 37. So, Father God, I thank you once again, Lord, for the opportunity to minister to your people. And, Lord, hide me behind the cross, oh God, and let what you want said, said, oh God. Open up my ears, Lord, that they won't be dull of hearing, that I may minister the word of God as you have given me to do and as you will lead me to do as I minister tonight. In Jesus' name. The Hebrew name of the book is Tehillim, which signifies praises. This portion of the Hebrew scriptures was the liturgical hymn book used regularly in the temple. The Old Testament was divided by the Hebrews into the law, the prophets, and the writings. And in some manuscripts, Psalms appeared first in the writings. The Psalter, as the collection of Psalms is also called, is the prayer book of all churches and synagogues in the Judeo-Christian tradition. In rank and scope, this is the most comprehensive book of the Bible. Its historical range spans the period from Moses to the exile. The book has been called an epitome of the Bible, and all elements of the biblical system find some expression in Psalms. In the historical section of the Bible, we have become acquainted with David, the king. In the Psalms, we see David, the poet, the sweet singer of Israel. Here we find him on his knees, pouring out his heart to God in repentance and thanksgiving, in faith, and asking God for assurance, strength, deliverance, and instruction. This is the book to which the soul naturally turns for its devotional needs. Coming into the secret place of the Most High, the soul finds here the satisfaction it seeks for its yearning and aspiration after God. Through the Psalms, in a special way, the soul of man reaches up to the infinite, sings its praises to God, speaks its fears, pours out its griefs, expresses its abiding faith, and seeks spiritual nourishment in the pastures of the divine shepherd. In the Psalms, we find ourselves mirrored because we recognize in the words of the inspired writers our own deepest desires, our own searching after God, and our own spiritual longings that only God can satisfy. In meeting needs such as those just previously mentioned, the Psalms stands alone. There is no other book like it in all literature. In the book of Job, we see our suffering humanity struggling with one problem. In the Psalms, we see ourselves struggling with a far greater range of problems connected with our spiritual nature. In this book, we see the suppliant as he struggles with misgivings and fears, as he is beset by temptations and harassed by foes, and still we see him rise from the pit of sin, humiliation, and defeat to new heights of triumph by God's grace and power. I was trying to say Lent, but I should have said, in this book we see David and whoever and struggle with his misgivings and fears. And as he is beset by temptations and harassed by foes. But yet we still see him rise from the pit of sin, humiliation and defeat, to new heights of triumph by God's grace and power. No other book in the Bible more truly magnifies God and his word. No other book in the Old Testament sets forth in greater range the person and work of the Messiah. Psalms portrays him from his advent to his resurrection and ascension, together with a graphic description of his universal and gracious sovereignty over the whole earth. A summary statement, if I may make one, as to the place and power of the Psalms is found in these words. The book that has such spiritual range, that so distinguishes the glory and majesty of the Bible, that has plumbed the depths of the human soul and carries us to the bosom of the Father, can never be outgrown or become obsolete. That is the Book of Psalms. The Book of Psalms is divided into five books, and I'm going to just go through them briefly. The first book is Psalms 1 through 41. The second book is Psalms 42 through 72. The third book is Psalms 73 through 89. The fourth book is Psalms 90 through 106, and the fifth book is Psalms 107 through 150. And Psalms has been given classifications, and the first classification are the prayers. As an example, Psalms 6, Psalms 25, Psalms 32, Psalms 38, there are more. I'm just giving you brief psalms. And these are the prayers of the penitent prayers. They are prayers when you're under affliction. There's prayers from the persecuted church. And there's prayers of trust and assurance. That's under prayers. The second classification is called instruction. And there's dealings with the righteous and unrighteous, magnifying the law of God and the views of life. The third classification would be the Psalms of Thanksgiving, God's goodness to Israel, God's mercy to the psalmist and to others. The fourth classification would be the Psalms of Praise, extolling the goodness of God, praising God's glory, omnipotence, and majesty, songs of the sanctuary with public worship. The fifth one is songs of the sanctuary and public worship, and the fourth is psalms of praise. The sixth is historical and messianic psalms, and then the seventh is songs of nature. Isn't that amazing? The Psalms of David. Have you ever really thought about it? We go immediately when we need help to Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You probably know that song as well as you know the Lord's Prayer, because we have all been taught that Psalms. And that's one of the Psalms when we talk about going back to the book when we need comfort, when we need to seek spiritual nourishment in the pastures of the divine shepherd. That's the Psalms we usually go to. That's the Psalms. And just this is just a little history, a little brief history on the book of Psalms. And now there's the Messianic Psalms. The coming and mission of the Messiah is found in Psalms 40, verses 6 through 10. The betrayal of Jesus is found in Psalms 41 and Psalms 109. The crucifixion, vividly, vividly portrayed in Psalms 22. Psalm 69 says, and verse 4 says, just prior to his death, Jesus declared in verse 4, Psalm 69, they hated me without a cause. And verses 12, 20, and 21 are of special significance. He trod the winepress alone, was given vinegar to drink. The statements by Matthew and John abundantly establish the messianic character of these passages. Then there's the resurrection and ascension. Psalms 16, 8 through 11. Psalms 68 and 18. Then there's the kingship and glory of the Messiah. Psalms 32. Psalms 118, Psalms 2, Psalms 72, Psalms 110 deal with his kingship and the glory of the Messiah. Just examples, and just giving you the Psalms that explain certain things in the Scriptures. Isn't it wonderful that we have a book in the Bible that we can go to, that when we're feeling down and depressed and feeling alone and feeling hurt, we can go to the book when we need healing. We can go to Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. And when we have questions about just about philosophical questions, and we have questions about how we're feeling, if we're feeling sick and feeling tired and just feeling ailing and just having problems with life, we can go to Psalms 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassed my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. So he knows all everything we do. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall uphold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me? Yea, the darkness hides not from thee, but the night shines as the day. The dark and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. So if you have, and if you're going through a hard time, you can read Psalms 131, and it lets you know that God knows all about you. He knows your thoughts, he knows your words, he knows your lying down, he knows your down setting, he knows what brings you down, he knows what brings you up. He knows all about you because the word of God says it. And there's another Psalms before we get to Psalms 37 I would like to read. Psalms 121. It says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. This is the great safety of God. And this is the great safety of the godly who put their trust in God's protection. And then one more psalm. Just flipping through the Psalms, just giving you an idea. If this is your first time on the line or your first time coming to Blog Talk or your first time just even listening to a religious program, we're talking about the Bible. We're talking about some people call it literature. Some people say the Bible is outdated. Some people say the Bible isn't relevant for today. But the Bible is more relevant for today than any other book on the planet. And now we're talking about the book of Psalms, one of the 66 books. And it's a book of poetry. It's a book of music. A lot of the Psalms have been put to music. Some of the Psalms in their entirety. Some of the scriptures in the Psalms have been put to music. It's a beautiful book. And when you're down and you're depressed and you need to find the Word of God, flip through the Psalms and find one that meets your need and pray it. Pray it to God. Pray it out loud. And one Psalm that I will read in its entirety is Psalms 91. This is the protection Psalms. This states, this is the state of the godly. This is their safety, their habitation. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With a long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. When I feel that I need protection, I quote as much of that Psalms as I can remember. I've tried to commit it to memory, but it's 16 verses. I've gotten pretty much halfway through it. But just expressing to you that the Word of God can meet you wherever you are in any situation, and particularly the book of Psalms. All my reading is from the King James. Now let us go to Psalms 37. It's a psalm that David wrote. And we're going to analyze this. We're going to go through some scriptures, and we're going to see if we can get an understanding. Out of this one psalm, we want to see exactly what the Word of God is saying to us. And what we will do is we will define some of the words as we go through. And I have broken this down into certain words, and then we will talk about what happens to evildoers, and then we will close it with what is our inheritance. Psalms 37 says, verse 1, and we will not particularly read every verse, but we will try to cover as much of it as we can. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Fret means to become vexed or worried, to be agitated, to be peeved, to be exasperated, to be irritated. That's what the Word of God is saying. Don't be irritated or aggravated because of evildoers. And don't be envious. And envious is just another word for envy. It means a painful or resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another, coupled with a desire to possess that same advantage. We see how the wicked prosper. We see it every day. We see how people can get away with things. And then we say, Lord, when are they going to get theirs? But what I'm saying is, don't fret, don't be vexed because of evildoers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity. Iniquity is basically a person that's saved, that's into sin. So you've seen saints, you've seen people who say they're Christians and they're into sin and they're not living up to the character of God. Don't be envious of them because they're being blessed, because the scripture says he reigns on the just as well as the unjust. So they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. And we know that the grass is eventually cut down or mowed down. And then the green herb usually eventually withers. But it says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trust, trust, trust. To be assured, to rely on the character or ability or strength of another, and to have confidence. We must have confidence in God. As we go through our tests and trials, the scripture said, cast not your confidence away. So as we trust in the Lord, we must keep our confidence level up. How do you keep your confidence level up? Knowing the Word of God. He that live godly must suffer persecution. We will have trials and tribulations. Romans 8, the last half of Romans, probably starting around the 30th verse. What shall separate us from the love of God? So we have to keep our trust and our confidence in God no matter what. Yes, it gets hard. Yes, you want to give up sometimes and quit, but you can't. You cannot. We've come too far to turn around. And God has an expected end for us. He has a good end for us. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Delight means a high degree of gratification, joy, extreme satisfaction. So satisfy yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself by reading your word and praying and doing good and letting your Christian character show forth and commit that way unto the Lord. Commit to carry into action deliberately. So you are deliberately committing yourself to the Lord. You are deliberately giving him your way. Whatever you choose to do, however you choose to be, you're committing your whole total self to him. And you're going to trust in him because you're going to have confidence in him. And he shall bring whatever you want to pass as you delight yourself in him and as you commit yourself to him. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Then we say, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Rest means to repose, to sleep and relax. Freedom from activity or labor. Don't strive trying to be a Christian. Just be. You're not striving trying to be a female. You're just a female. You're not striving trying to be a man. You're just what you are, a man. So don't strive, but relax in the Lord. There is a rest for the saints. There is a rest. There's a point when you're not striving to be righteous. You're not striving, you just be. And as you live this life, and as you pray and seek the Lord and have a consecrated life, you will just be, and you will continue to evolve from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Your spirit man will be exercised to know good from evil. You will have the mind of God. You will know what to say, when to say it. The Lord will deal with you. The gifts of the Spirit will operate in your life. So rest in the Lord and patiently wait for him. Don't get saved today and think tomorrow you can raise the dead. Don't get saved today and next week you out on the mission field. What do you know for sure? So rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And fret not, don't be worried and bothered and peeved and irritated because of the people who prosper in his way, because of the man who bringeth the wicked devices to pass. Don't fret. Just rest in the Lord. And cease from anger to cause to come to an end. Cease, stop. And forsake wrath. Forsake wrath. Forsake. When we say forsake, we mean to renounce, turn away in its entirety. To renounce wrath. What do we mean by wrath? We mean wrath is a strong, vengeful anger or indignation. It's an anger aroused by something unjust, unworthy, or just plain mean. So as a saint of God, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Don't be vengeful. Don't be vengeful. And fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. And fret. Don't become vexed or worried or agitated or peeved to do evil. Verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Wait, wait. To stay in place in expectation. Wait on the Lord. Just wait. Let God handle his business as you handle the business that he's given you. Wait. And then Verse 37 says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. What do we mean by mark? It's a standard of performance. It's a standard. The perfect man is the spiritually mature man. You have some of those in your lives, probably in your churches and in your families. Mark that person and watch them. And behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. P-E-A-C-E, peace. That's what we want in our lives. We want peace. Now let's just see what the evil doers, what's going to happen to them. That's why he's telling you not to fret, to trust in him, to delight yourself in him, to commit your ways to him, to rest in him, to cease from anger. To depart from evil, to wait on the Lord, and to mark the upright man. And don't be envious. Don't be vexed. Keep your confidence. Commit your way unto the Lord deliberately. Commit means to carry into action deliberately. To deliberately commit yourself to God. And to rest and sleep and relax in him. Don't stress and struggle. If you do these things in Psalm 37, there's a great inheritance awaiting you. But let's see what the evildoers will get. Verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Evildoers will be cut off. The wicked plotteth against the just, verse 12, and gnashes upon him with his teeth. They plot against the just. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. So if you have wicked people around you, and you're saying, oh, they're persecuting me, well, the scripture says they're going to plot against you. But because you have the Spirit of God, and he will give you the spirit of revelation. He will give you the spirit of understanding and knowledge. He will give you the gifts of the Spirit to discern what's being plotted against you. He will give you the words to say. He will give you the words to pray. He will walk you through this. He will be with you. Because this is what will happen because of the evildoers. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Verse 14, the wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. We have seen the poor and needy being misused and abused. And if you do see it, understand that who's perpetrating that injustice on them is wicked. Do we need to define the word wicked? Wicked is a person who's not born again, not a Christian. There are some people who are more wicked than others. Yes, there's degrees of wickedness. Particularly those who slay the upright. There are Christians in countries that can't carry a Bible, can't even let their family know that they're Christians, they will be killed. Oh yeah, there are Christians who are being martyred even as we speak right now. And there are countries that do not and will not allow them to be Christian. And if they are Christian, they will be killed. If they convert, they could lose their job and their families turn against them. Yes, that's wickedness. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. So a sword shall enter their own heart, and a bow shall be broken in their heart, and their arms shall be broken. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, and to smoke shall they consume away. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? And aren't you glad you've accepted the Lord? And these things won't happen to you. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. Do you know people who borrow and don't pay, repay you? The wicked watches the righteous and seek to slay him. So there's a lot coming against the Christian right here. So you know that as a Christian, you can expect these things to happen to you. But the Lord has your back because you have on the whole armor of God. The Lord has your back. And then verse 38, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? The wicked shall be cut off. But what do we as Christians inherit? Psalms 37 verse 11 tells us, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. But the meek, not the weak, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Isn't that one of the Beatitudes? The meek shall inherit the earth. We're talking about the meek. We're talking about people who are valiant warriors. Yes, strong in the spirit. We're talking about people who have overcome, who are overcomers. We're talking about the bride of Christ that has overcome shall inherit the earth. Meek and weak are two totally separate different words. Oh, they rhyme, but they do not mean the same thing, and they are totally opposites. When you think of weak, think of the opposite and call them meek. Meek has a humble sound to it. On the one hand, it's humility, and it's being humble to God. It's showing humility to man. It's being humble to God. And being humble to God, you're saying, God, yes, I know you are the master of the universe. Yes, God, I know you are the master of my life. Yes, God, I know you lead me and you guide me and you take care of me. Yes, I adore you. I worship you. I honor you. But it doesn't mean that you are a weak person. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. I love peace. I love peace. So number one, we will inherit the earth and have an abundance of peace. Verse 18, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. So our inheritance is forever. So number one, we're going to inherit the earth, and we have an abundance of peace, and then we're going to, our inheritance is forever. The inheritance shall be forever. Can you put a number on forever? We call it infinity, and we still can't give it a number. So how do you inherit something forever, particularly if you're not going to die ever again? So we will be with the Lord. Our inheritance, eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. We don't even have a clue. The scripture says that. Has not even entered into our hearts. So our inheritance is forever. Oh, glory to God. We never have to worry again. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Never have to worry. Never have to cry again. Thank God for his word, for putting that scripture in there. And their inheritance shall be forever. Verse 22. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. So again, we shall inherit the earth. He's telling us again, we shall inherit the earth. Verse 29. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein. Here's this word again. Forever. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. So, if you're upright and you're righteous, and you are righteous, because we are the righteousness of God. We are the righteousness. We shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. So now, verse 11 tells us we shall inherit the earth and have an abundance of peace. Verse 18 says our inheritance will be forever. Verse 22 says, we shall be blessed of him and shall inherit the earth. Verse 29 tells us we shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. So again, he's letting us know we shall inherit the land. So our inheritance, let me just take you to Romans 8. Romans 8 and 17. Let's go up to verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So we are heirs. If we're children, then we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So whatever God has, he's given it to Christ, Jesus, then we're joint heirs with Christ. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to him. And whatever belongs to Jesus belongs to us. So we are joint heirs with him. Joint heirs. And in Ephesians, it talks about the height and depth and the knowledge that God has for us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Then verse 14 says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. We don't. And then verse 18 says, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then if you, when you get time, continue to read on, because it's a long, there's more scriptures that go with it. But we're talking about inheritance. So, inheritance. I like to go back to Revelation and tie this to the he that overcometh. He that overcometh, will he give him a crown of life? That's your inheritance. He that overcometh will not be hurt of the second death. That's your inheritance. He that overcometh, will he give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone. And in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saying, saving he that receiveth it. Give you a new name. To him that overcometh, he will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. To him that overcometh and keepeth his works until the end, to him will he give power over the nations. Inheritance. This is your inheritance. Him that overcometh, shall he be clothed in white raiment. He will not blot out his name out of the book of life. He will confess his name before his Father and before the angels. He that overcometh, he will make him a pillar in the temple of his God. And he shall go no more out, and will write upon him the name of his God and the name of the city of God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God, and will write upon him his new name. And to him that overcometh will he grant to sit with him in his throne. So there is a great inheritance. There's a great inheritance. As we do these, as we obey Psalms 37, as we don't fret, as we are not vexed, as we trust in God and not cast our confidence away, as we delight ourselves in him, as we commit our way unto him, as we deliberately commit our ways unto him, as we rest and repose and sleep and relax in him, as we cease to cause, as we cease from anger. Oh, bless your name, Jesus, as we cease from anger. How hard it is sometimes not to be angry. How hard it is sometimes not to be angry at your children and angry at your spouse or angry at your siblings or just angry at your coworkers or just angry, period. Angry at things that are happening in your life. How hard it is to cease from anger, to cause anger to come to an end. How hard, but we can, by the grace of God, because this is telling us what to do. Jesus has already died on the cross. He's made a way where we can come into the Holy of Holies. We can boldly come to the throne of grace. We don't need a priest to go before us. We don't need a king. We don't need a prophet to go before us. We can ourselves come. And these are directions given to us that's telling us what to do. It's telling us not to fret. It's telling us to trust in the Lord. It's telling us to delight ourselves in him. It's telling us to commit our ways. It's telling us to rest in him. It's telling us to cease from anger and forsake wrath. It's telling us to depart from iniquity. It's telling us to wait upon the Lord. It's telling us to mark the perfect man. It's telling us to not be envious. That's what it's telling us to do. So, can we do it? Can we do it? Yes, we can. If we choose to do it, if we choose to do it, we can do it. Is it easy? Well, no, it's not easy. But as you begin to do these things one by one, step by step, here a little, there a little, one by one, you will be able to do these things. Will you do them all the time? Maybe yes and maybe no, but you know that now that you know you have to do these things, you can do them. And you can endeavor to want to do them. Oh, Father God, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for just giving us such an abundance of things, of how to live holy, how to live righteous, how to live a consecrated life. And, Lord, not only do you hold us in your hands, but you hold the ungodly in your hands. And, Lord, you would that none would perish, but that all would come to you. But, Lord, we know that all are not going to come. We know this. And that is where the hurt lies. Because as a Christian, you want your family saved. You want your neighbors saved. You want your co-workers saved. You want everyone in your church saved. You want the world saved. You want... Every time we pick up the news, we turn on CNN or Fox News or MSNBC, or we look on the computers at the news stations, we see devastation and famine. We see pestilence. We hear earthquakes. There was another earthquake in China just yesterday. We see storms. We see tsunamis. We see flooding. We see wildfires. We see tornadoes. Oh, my God. We see so much. We are so overwhelmed with the news because now it doesn't take a minute. It doesn't take, and in the Boston Marathon, it doesn't take a week for things to get around the globe. We can see as it unfolds. We can see it. We have become so desensitized with all the murders and the killings. Yes, we have. But in this last and evil day, in this closing up of the age, of the dispensation, let us not be a part of the apostasy. Let us not be a part of the falling away. Let us not get caught up in mammon. Let us not serve filthy lucre. Let us not get caught up with, Lord, what have you done for me lately? But let us remember Matthew 6 and 38. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What are all these things? These things which the Gentiles seek after. Yes, we're Gentiles. Let me just go there for a minute. This is Matthew 6. Let's look at verse 31. No, let's look at verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything that you need, your food, your clothes, what you even drink, will be added, your shelter, everything will be added unto you. I'm saying even now, be content, because contentment in the Lord is godly gain, great gain. 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment. Oh no, I'm not saying don't seek to better yourself. But what I'm saying is don't strive so much so that you leave God outside of it, because you haven't rested in the Lord and you haven't committed your way to Him and you haven't delighted yourself in Him. So now you can't trust Him. But what I'm saying is we all want success, and God has promised us in Joshua 1:8 good success as we meditate in the Word. As we meditate in the Word. What I'm saying is success is for us. But in your doing, seek the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek Him. Seek His ways. He said He let the children of Israel know His acts. He knew how He acted and what He did. But to Moses, He showed His ways. If you understand the ways of God, you understand the concepts. You understand. You can conceptualize. You can understand. You can maneuver. You can take what the way He is and you can apply it to a situation. I want to be like Moses. I want to know His ways. I want to know His concepts. I want to know His precepts. So when I get in a situation, I know how God would want me to handle it. Yes, I'm saying Psalms 37 is a psalm that just struck me when I read it, on the things that He told us to do. Then in breaking it down and looking at it further, I realized that our inheritance is in what we do. And then I realized if our inheritance is in it, then what's the flip side? And the flip side are the evildoers, how they're going to be cut off, how the Lord's going to laugh at them, how the sword is going to break off into them, how He's going to break their arms, how they're going to perish and be consumed away. Oh, my God, how they're going to be destroyed. Oh, saints of God, 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 let us be mindful to do what the Spirit of God has given us to do, what the Word of God says. What the Word of God says. And I would like to offer salvation to anyone on the line tonight. If you are not born again, this is a wonderful walk. This is a wonderful walk. It's laid out in front of you. Even a simple man couldn't err in this. There's no muss, no fuss. You read the Word, you pray in your heart and ask God to help you, and He will help you. This is a wonderful life, oh man or woman or child. This is a wonderful life. And I pray that you would accept the Lord, because today is the day of salvation. If not today, when? So if you want to accept the Lord, repeat after me. The Heavenly Father, I accept Jesus in my heart. I believe He was born, He died, and He rose again. And I cast all my cares on Him, and I know that I have sinned against Him, and I'm receiving His forgiveness right now in the name of Jesus. And if you've done that and you mean it from your heart, then you are born again. Then you need to get up and tell someone that you've accepted the Lord as your Savior. You need to go tell someone. And then you need to find a church home that's preaching and teaching the Word of God, and you need to be baptized. And man and woman of God, I pray that this word touched your heart and gave you some insight into the book of Psalms, a little history about it, a little talk about it, how it was broken down. So when you read it, you get a better flavor for it. You understand, it's just not David just ranting and raving for 150 chapters, because most of them he wrote. Some of them he didn't, but most of them he wrote. And then it talks, and then it gives you history of the children of Israel. And it's just so much. It's just so rich and so packed full, chock full of so much. And I trust and pray that you will, when you read the Psalms, you will get a better understanding and a deeper understanding. And until we meet again next week, same time, same place, may the grace of God rest, rule, and abide henceforth, now, and forevermore. Until we meet again, be blessed.
I thank you, Lord, for salvation and healing and deliverance in the name of Jesus. I thank you that the anointing, your anointing that destroys the yoke in the name of Jesus. Father God, I decree and declare that let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let it be established in every community, city, and state. I lift up every intercessor, every watchman, every seer, every battle axe, every spiritual legislator of the Lord, and prayer warriors who stand in between the porch and the altar. Lord, I thank you for the gates of righteousness. I cover them with the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus. Anoint your people to tread upon serpents and scorpions. I agree with heaven that the people of God have power over the all power of the enemy. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for keen discernment, Father God, that will come upon every intercessor in the name of Jesus, God. Let every hidden snare of the enemy, Father God, against your church be exposed. I bind up every assignment of every bloodthirsty man in the name of Jesus. We bind and break all spirits of witchcraft and backlash and revenge and retaliation on those who have given their lives to stand in the gap in the name of Jesus. Every fiery dart of the enemy against the anointed one has boomeranged in the name of Jesus. We take dominion over spirits of heaviness and confusion and spirits of despondency in the name of Jesus that will cause the intercessors not to be alert and not to be on the wall in the name of Jesus. We pray against every distraction. We come against all frustration assigned to make intercessors get off the wall. We say in the name of Jesus, they shall be on the wall, and they shall intercede and pray. What thus said the Lord in the name of Jesus, we decree and declare tonight that we are spiritual legislators, that we will speak what thus said the Lord. We break and destroy the power that will come against prayers. I thank you for intercessors who abide under the covering of a spiritual authority in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare tonight that there will be no lone ranger spirits. We break spirits of rebellion, monotony, cliques, false prophetic unction in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare spirits of unity, cohesiveness among the intercessors in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare that they will run with the vision of their leader, Father God, that you will give them prophetic insight right now in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare tonight that they will live upright and holy in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that they will make up a hedge and build walls around the body of Christ. I thank you right now in the name of Jesus that they are rising from their slumber, God, that they are rising from their sleep in the name of Jesus. Oh, intercessor, where art thou? I command you to arise and take your place in the earth in the name of Jesus. Arise and take your gate in the city. Arise and take your place in the name of Jesus. Our intercessors, I shake you from your slumber. I command you to rise up and begin to decree a thing, and it shall be established in the name of Jesus. Let every intercessor, God, let every intercessor under the sound of my voice, God, let them be a student of the word, God. Let us study to show ourselves approved in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will re-baptize us, God. Baptize us with Holy Ghost and with fire, God. Give us new tongues, God. Give us new discernment, God. Let that spirit of discernment be upon us, God. Oh, in the name of Jesus, God. Discernment, God. Let it be upon us, God. Let us begin to see things, God, even before they manifest, God. Let us begin to be able to prophesy, Father God, what will be on the morning paper, God. In the name of Jesus. Intercessors arise and take your place. spiritual legislators arise. Watchmen arise. Get on your post in the name of Jesus. There's a need for you.